seconds. Bryant for the win.
Interviews from your favorite local coaches and athletes.
He's getting to the basket of will, and he's hitting that three-point shot with some consistency now, and he's just in a groove right now where he's pretty well unstoppable.
Hall of Fame and legendary guests.
I was driven by loving to play, liking the challenge of being an NFL quarterback, but after 18 years, I was 1 month short of 39 years old. It's time to go.
Analysis and insight on the latest national sports topics. Live, it's Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
Welcome to a brand new week of Drive Time Sports. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. I'm going to be back with you. A lot to get into this week. A lot of recapping because the 3A winter high school sports season is officially over. Came to a close on Saturday. Definitely not the outcome we all wanted, but it was a terrific weekend for basketball in the local area. The Emory Lady Spartans coming up just short of that coveted 3A state championship, dropping a four-point game to the Morgan Trojans. That was phenomenal basketball. Phenomenal back and forth. And while it's definitely, again, never the outcome you anticipate, the Lady Spartans put together just a brilliant, brilliant weekend. And that Morgan team, well, they're not too shabby. They had to go through a gauntlet to win that state championship. They had to beat the number one seed South Sevier. They had to beat the number four seed Carbon. And then they beat the number two seed Emory. They earned it. Plain and simple. We'll take a look at that contest. We'll recap it. The Carbon Lady Dinos finished fourth place overall at the 3A state tournament. Beat Richfield on Thursday, one game away from the state championship, and they suffered a loss to Morgan and then ended their season with a loss to Grantsville. And following that game, we learned that Coach Ted Bianco has coached his final game as head coach of the Carbon Lady Dinos. And I know we'll have an opportunity to catch up with Coach Bianco a little bit later on in the week. I did have a chance to speak with him following that game. We'll play you the clip of him announcing that he will take over as the athletic director at Juan Diego High School. And also the Carbonetto boys squad. They go 2-0 at the tournament. Lost to a very good Grantsville team. Lost to a very good Grand team. Terrific season. It's been a long time since Carbon High School has gone to that state championship tournament. Getting past the play-in round, it's been a process for Carbon High School. So, again, while no state champions over the weekend, there's a lot to get excited about. There's a lot to look forward to. And we will begin our season recaps today. Always love to do that. Get some final perspective from all the coaches once things have settled down. We'll start with the Emory High School boys basketball team today. Coach Jeff Cincinnatus will join us over the phone in just a moment. I know the boys basketball team is having an awards banquet to wrap up the season tonight, so we'll get on with Coach Cincinnatus here in just a few moments to go over that. Also on the show today, we have to talk NBA basketball. 4 days before we go into the All-Star break, Utah Jazz, number one team, not only in the Western Conference, but in the NBA, and the Jazz will make their return to KOAL tonight as they take on the New Orleans Pelicans. I think it's an entertaining game. Should see a lot of offense in this contest. But the Jazz, they should pull away late. Hey, here's a reoccurring theme with New Orleans. Competitive for the first half, blown out in the second half. And the reason that happens is because offensively, they're fantastic. Stan Van Gundy, I don't think he's the best of coaches in the league, not my personal favorite. Knows how to coach offense. You have Zion Williamson shooting a tremendous field goal percentage. He's like at Shaq field goal percentage level right now. That's how good Zion is. And he's getting most of his work done inside the paint. And then you got the versatility and the length and the creativity of Brandon Ingram. They can score the basketball. They just can't defend it. And that's why I would expect the Jazz to run away with this game. New Orleans will make it up and down, an up and down track meet for about the first half. But I think once we get into the second half, the Jazz will pull away and win comfortably tonight. Live coverage of that game will begin here at 5:50. David Locke, Ron Boone will bring you the play-by-play call, and then tip-off is scheduled for 6. Let's take a look at some of the headlines, and we will begin in the NFL. It didn't take J.J. Watt long to find a new home. He has agreed to a 2-year contract with the Arizona Cardinals. The team and Watt both made that announcement today. Terms were not disclosed, but ESPN's Adam Schefter is reporting that it's a deal worth $31 million, and $23 million of that is guaranteed. Watt then tweeted out a picture of himself wearing an Arizona Cardinals shirt as he was lifting weights. He said, "Source, me." I think it's a great signing for the Cardinals. Really, I do. When you look at what this team has in the form of a pass rush, Chandler Jones leads the NFL in sacks since he was drafted back in 2012 with 97. During that span, Watt has 95 and a half. Now, obviously, Watt is not the player that he once was, but there were certainly times last year where he rivaled his former self. And I think putting him opposite of Jones is going to be spectacular. Vegas does not believe so. The Cardinals, they were at 40-1 to win the Super Bowl. After landing Watt, they remain 40-1. Their odds to win the NFC West went from 7-1 to 6-1. Still the longest odds of all four teams in that division. But again, if you break this down statistically and what Watt meant to Houston last year, he was ranked 15th out of 119 qualified pass rushers in win rate. And win rate is important. And when looking at defensive statistics, you have to look at next-gen stats. You can't simply look at J.J. Watt and compare his statistics to his brother in Pittsburgh and say, well, his brother's the better player at this stage in his career. Now, I believe his brother is a better player than him at this stage in his career, but that's not the way it works defensively because all things are not equal. So you have to start looking at statistics like win rate, pass rush win rate. It's a great statistic. He had 5 sacks, 2 fumbles, and an interception that he returned for a touchdown. The biggest problem with J.J. Watt is he has really been plagued with injuries. And in fact, he's only played 16 games in a season twice since 2015. Probably the greatest player in Houston Texans history. I think he will make a difference in Arizona. I don't believe there's any doubt about that because, again, the two most important positions in my mind, it's not even necessarily left tackle anymore. It's quarterback and pass rush. Edge rush at that. You have to have it. And in a division that right now has Russell Wilson and right now has Matt Stafford, and you can tack that on with Jimmy Garoppolo, edge rush is important. So the Cardinals went out today. I think they get much, much better defensively as they add J.J. Watt. $23 million over 2 years. I think that's peanuts. Take that 10 times out of 10 times. Let's hop back over to the NBA and take a look at the schedule tonight. Again, as I mentioned, Utah, New Orleans tonight, 5:50 p.m. right here on KOAL. A lot more Jazz games now that we have open airtime with high school basketball coming to a close. 5:50 live coverage, tip-off at 6. 5 o'clock hour tonight, we get Dallas at Orlando, two struggling teams. Both could certainly use a win right now if they want to get back into the playoff picture. Indiana will travel to take on Philly. We get Denver at Chicago. Also in the 6 o'clock hour, we get Brooklyn at San Antonio. Two nightcap games, 7 o'clock, it's Cleveland at Houston. And at 8:30, Charlotte at Portland. That's a quick look at the national sports scene and everything that's happening, including, the NBA. We haven't even talked about Major League Baseball. Spring training, it's back. It's underway. It really is some of the best times of the year for the national sports scene, plus March Madness. We didn't get that last year. We're going to get it this year. We'll talk more about that and more coming up here on Drive Time Sports, Monday edition of the show. We're back right after this.
What you listening to?
Big Sports Radio Guy.
Prepare the water cooler, that we may gather around it later and discuss things.
It's time for the Coach's Corner on Drive Time Sports.
Now that the 3A high school basketball season is over, we're going to begin our season end recaps today, and we'll start with the Emory High School boys basketball team. Their state tournament run came to a close a little over a week ago as they suffered a loss to Grantsville, the number one ranked team in the state. And joining us right now to talk about that and recap his first season as head coach, we have Jeff Cincinnatos over the phone right now. Coach, always a pleasure. Thank you again.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you for everything this year.
Oh, yeah, definitely, Coach. It was a lot of fun. I know there was a series of ups, series of downs, but ultimately, Coach, I think there's always beauty in something like that. When you look at the way that these kids manage to grow, and you had stressed all season long, just play your best basketball at the end of the season, and I think when you go back and you look at the final three or four games, that was the case.
Oh, most definitely. I know a lot of people will look at me and wonder what I'm saying when I say this, but I really think this season was a success for us in what we accomplished and how much we grew from day one until our last basketball game. Obviously, didn't play our best basketball in our last game against Grantsville, but I think we were playing our best basketball leading up into that and was getting better every day. And again, I appreciate the kids' effort every day in practice. Suffering losses like we did, close losses, being in every ball game and whatnot. You can't judge your season on the amount of wins or losses that you put forth. It's about, what you've done in that period of time and how much you've grown as a team. And, that's why I think this year was definitely a successful season for us.
All right, Coach, let's go back and talk about the game against Grantsville. I thought that it was, honestly, an excellent opportunity. You have nothing to lose in a game like this. And defensively, you guys were phenomenal. And I had an opportunity to watch Grantsville against some other squads this past weekend. Nobody outside of Carbon in that first half of their contest played Grantsville defensively as solid as you guys did over the course of two and maybe even three quarters. I know things got away in that fourth, but for the first three quarters, I'm sure that was everything you could have asked for defensively.
Yeah, we had a plan to try and slow them down, which I thought we did. It was working for us. Unfortunately for us, our offense was not working for us in the first half. And, we ended up getting behind, like you're talking midway through a third quarter where you kind of have to scrap your game plan of slowing the game down because you're behind by 20 points and you've got to try and speed up and score. And that's the reason for the outcome of that game, being where it was. But, our kids play extremely hard defensively and was doing good things. We just couldn't get a basket to drop for us. I think we missed four or five easy lay-ins in the first quarter, which, you're talking 8 to 10 points makes a big difference in a game when you only score 11 points in the first half. And so, again, extremely proud of our guys and their effort. And, unfortunately, we had to just change what we wanted to do for the rest of that game, and the game got away from us, and we lost by a substantial amount. But it's really not indicative of who we were and how hard we played in that game. And again, I thought we did an excellent job. I thought Carbon did an excellent job with them in that quarterfinal game, playing defense as well, making it tough on them. They took away a lot of things that Grantsville likes to do, and size-wise gave them some fits. So again, when your kids play super hard and you have a plan and they execute, good things are going to happen. And again, I was really happy with our effort, especially in that first half.
Before that game, Coach, you had a do-or-die contest against Delta, and the kids probably played their best all-around game going all the way back to December. There were a couple of really solid performances early on in that month, but I really thought the game against Delta, the kids played well-rounded all the way through and through.
Yeah, I don't really recall any stretches during that game where we kind of lost focus and gave up points and didn't play hard, and I think that's kind of what hurt us throughout the season, when we just had stretches throughout each ball game where we would lose focus for a couple minutes here and there and give a team a big run and actually put a game out of reach for us. But, that game, I thought we played a solid four quarters. Our big man, Brett Rasmussen, played an extremely big game for us in that game and had a size advantage, and we took advantage of that, and Brett did an excellent job. And, as a group, I thought we played solid defense, kept that a low scoring game. And then we ran our offense and took the time we needed to not turn the basketball over. And I was extremely happy with the way the guys, played that last home game in Emory.
Coach, as far as the growth from this team throughout the year, where do you feel you guys made the most improvement, say, the final three games of the season compared to maybe some poor stretches at the beginning of January?
I think defensively, we put a big emphasis, midway through the season that our defense was not good enough. And we were giving up, 70, 80 points to teams that generally score 50 or 60. And, I think we put a big emphasis on defense, and I think if you look at this, you know, the last month of the season, our defensive effort in every game was tons better. We got better individually on defense. We got better as a team on defense. We still have a lot of work to do on defense, and it's going to be our main focus of the coaching staff throughout the summer and coming into next season is defense. But, yeah, I think we made big strides in our defense. I mean, Emory predominantly is a zone defensive team, you know, over the last how many years. And, you know, we played primarily man-to-man this year, and it's a change for the kids. And I thought they, you know, at the beginning of the year was a little bit lost in it, but I think by the end of the year we're starting to figure out exactly where they need to be and how they need to play that. But, you know, defensively for me was a big upstart for us by the end of the year. And, you know, our offense is going to come, and we need to create offense off of our defense, and that's what we need to understand. But I'm extremely happy with the changes that we made defensively. But, again, it's going to be a real point of emphasis coming in the next year is that our defense needs to get a lot better.
Again, our guest right now is Coach Jeff Cincinnatus of the Emory High School boys basketball team. Coach, we'll talk about this senior group. You have six of them, and these kids were – you know, the effort was never an issue, and that's something that you and I continue to talk about throughout the entire season. We saw some great energy out of the front court with Luke Stilson and Bo Cook. That kind of became what they were known for. We saw some explosive plays and offensive outputs from Riggs Griffin and also Trevin Brazier, and Jax Madsen has got a motor that goes a million miles an hour, and you even relied on Quentin Sorensen quite a bit off of the bench, and I know that his varsity experience was extremely limited. In fact, he had never played in a varsity game going into the season.
Yeah, those six seniors were by far the leaders of this team and showed the young guys what it takes to give that great effort day in and day out. And we talked about that, you know, at senior night and after our last game. You know, no better teachers to teach these young guys than these seniors that we have this year. And, you know, you can't always say that sometimes with a senior group, but these kids definitely led by example. They left everything they had out on the floor every night, you know, and really just a great group of kids. I mean, you get them off the floor, and they're as great a group of kids as you could be around. I'm so happy and pleased that I got an opportunity to work with them. I wish it would have been a lot longer, but, you know, I expressed to them just how pleased I was and how fortunate I was to spend the time with them that I got to spend. And they're going to be hard to replace. You know, not a lot of vocal leadership out of that group, but you know, you're not always vocal when you lead, and that group obviously led by their actions. And I couldn't be happier for them. They're all going to be successful young men in whatever they do because of the effort that they're willing to give to be successful. And so I'm not worried one minute about how successful they're going to be moving on in life, and, you know, just going to miss being around them every day. I mean, it's been a week since we've been together, and, you know, my coaching staff's already been texting me and saying, you know, I'm lost. I don't know what to do. You know, I miss being around the kids. And you know, and that's what you want to say after a season's over. You know, there's been a lot of seasons where you're like, man, I really need a break from these guys. And this was not a year where we wanted to say we needed a break from each other, you know, because I do miss being around them, and just a great group of young men.
Well, with that being said, Coach, I know that there is a lot to look forward to and what's coming back next year. You have plenty of underclassmen, and we saw really this year from that freshman group all the way up to the junior group, you guys have some solid players that will be back next season.
Almost definitely. You know, our freshman and sophomore group finished up the season with winning records. The JV was real close to 500, with a lot of younger guys stepping in to help at that level. You know, and really facing some more physical and more talented kids at the JV level. But I thought our freshmen and sophomores, you know, really played well. And I think learned probably more than anybody on the team, you know, what it's going to take to be successful. I thought they adapted to the new system that we're trying to put in place offensively and defensively, you know, really well, and showed a ton of improvement from day one till our last game. And, you know, we're all excited about, you know, those groups coming forward, and along with our junior group next year. You know, it's going to be a more successful season than this year was, and every year is going to get better and better. And again, you know, we're extremely happy, and we've got some, you know, some good freshmen that are going to come into our program next year. Got a chance to watch the two junior highs over in Emory County play last week, and, you know, seeing some good things. And, you know, we're excited to get back after it. I mean, honestly, we'd probably, you know, get get started again this week if we could with those kids. But we're going to take some time off and obviously let spring sports, you know, take its run, and then we'll get back after as soon as school gets out. But extremely positive upside to what we have coming back in the Emory High basketball program.
Yeah, and a lot of those kids, Coach, they didn't see a ton of varsity time, but there were several freshmen and sophomores that did log some quality minutes, and I'm sure that's invaluable moving forward because the speed of the game is just so different.
Yeah, well, and a lot of them got so much valuable time at the JV level that even, you know, some of our younger guys off, or older guys off this year's team didn't get last year. But, you know, we had a handful get into varsity games. Almost half of our varsity games we've seen freshmen step on the floor, and just so they can see the speed and the physicality so they know what it's like to play at that level. You know, you go out there and kind of get abused a little bit on the floor as a younger guy, get knocked down and overpowered, and it makes you realize what kind of work you have to put in to be successful at that level. If you don't ever get a chance to step on the floor in a game and actually see that in person, it's kind of hard to tell. So, you know, I was extremely happy with the time that the freshmen seen and our sophomores seen at the varsity level this year. You know, we knew it was going to be an eye-opening experience for them, and I believe it was, but I believe they responded well. And, you know, it should make them hungry to come back next year and just want that much more time at that level. So, you know, again, we're really happy with what we got from them.
I know, Coach, you jump right into baseball, and we'll be talking about that, I know, relatively soon. And you mentioned you'll get through through the spring sports season, and then you'll pick up basketball. What does the offseason entail this year? I guess everything really kind of relies on how much normalcy we get with COVID and everything that's happening. But what's the plan right now?
Yeah, it is really going to depend on that. Again, we haven't seen a lot of basketball camps that have been published out there yet on whether we're having them or not having them. I'm assuming that we will, but you know, we'll start back up as soon as school gets out there first part of June with some open gym stuff and get ready to go to camps this summer and spend really the whole month of June at basketball camps. Hopefully get at least three in the month of June, and not sure what the month of July will bring. Just depends on again, what kind of scheduling we get with camps. But, you know, all year we've talked, I had extra interviews with every player on the team, told them where I thought they were and what they needed to do, you know, in the off season. And the number one thing was, again, was work better, be better defensively. And, you know, defense in my mind is just that, it's a mindset. You've got to have a real mindset and a good work habit to be a good defender. And we've got to talk better on defense, obviously, as a team. But individually, you know, it's just a mindset of just, you know, having an attitude to not let your man score and do things. And offensively, I mean, you know, we've got to get better at everything offensively, from ball handling to passing to shooting. You know, we didn't shoot the ball extremely well from behind the arc this year, and that's, you know, kind of a character of Emory High basketball, that we have good shooters. And so guys have got to get in the gym, and they've got to shoot shots, and it's not about shooting 20 shots a day. It's about shooting, you know, 500 shots a day. And just trying to make, you know, these kids understand just what type of work it really involves to get as good as you want to be, you know, it is the thing. The work habit has just got to get better, and it takes time. And so, you know, anybody that has extra time needs to get in the gym and shoot, and, you know, needs to work on passing and ball handling. But every aspect of the game, obviously, is important for us. But get in the weight room. We have a lot of young kids, you know, who are going to get thrown into the fire next year as sophomores and whatnot at the varsity level, I'm sure. And they need to get stronger, physically need to be stronger. And that's one of the big things. We have a great, you know, facility at Emory High to get stronger with, and we need to use that as basketball players, I think. Everybody thinks that's just for football players and wrestlers or whatever, but basketball players definitely need to get in that weight room, get stronger, and we're going to push, you know, every day to get in the weight room with these kids as well. So just every aspect of the game, Jordan, is something we all need to work on. You know, there's not one real thing that we do great. We do a lot of things good. We do some things poor, but, you know, by the end of next season, I hope we're adding to the list of things that we do great and keep moving forward.
Well, Coach, I definitely appreciate all the time throughout the year. I know we'll jump into baseball a little bit later on in the week, but thank you for all the time, and congratulations on completing your first year at Emory High School.
Yeah, I appreciate it, Jordan. I want to send a thanks out to everyone who helped this year, especially with my first year, our coaching staff, yourself, everyone who helped at our home games with running clock and things. I really appreciate all the support that was given to us. And again, I know it was a frustrating year when you look at it record-wise, and you know, we had a lot of a lot of growing pains to go through, but, you know, I appreciate the support given to the kids, because it's going to take a little bit to put in a new process and get better. But, you know, good things are in the future for this basketball program. And just want to appreciate, you know, send my thanks out to everybody who's helping make that happen. And, you know, hopefully we get a season next year that's even better and get more fans back in the gym. I appreciate student body that was out to watch us and do things, and everyone who traveled. And again, a special thanks to you for doing our games.
Oh, it's definitely my pleasure, Coach. And again, I look forward to talking about spring sports soon. Thank you.
Thanks, Jordan. Appreciate it.
We're going to break for just a moment. We do have more Drive Time Sports coming up when we return, right here on 107.3 FM and 750 AM. We'll move to the national side of things right after this.
This is Derek Favors, number 15 from the Utah Jazz. You're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini.
3-point game, Harris. Pick and roll, Favors takes it strong and one. Oh my, watch Derek Favors take a leap right here.
We're back on Drive Time Sports. We're going to stick with basketball. We'll move over to the NBA. Coming up tonight right here on KOAL, the Jazz will take on the Pelicans. And if you like offensive basketball, there should be plenty of it. It's a fun matchup on paper. However, New Orleans, 5 games under .500. Utah, still the best team in the NBA record-wise right now. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about the looming All-Star break. That's coming up in just 4 days, and we'll do all that with our NBA insider, Jameson Welsh of BasketballNews.com. Jameson, always look forward to the Monday segments. Thank you.
Not a problem. Thanks for having me, as always. Definitely appreciate it.
Yep, always fun. And we'll start by talking about tonight's game, the Jazz and the Pelicans. As I alluded to, if you like offense, there's probably going to be a lot of it in this game tonight. You and I were talking off of the cuff, and I had mentioned to you that, boy, this is a first-half team. You started breaking it down. The Pelicans are a first-half team because they are so bad defensively. But when you look at what they can bring to the table on the offensive side of the ball, it's entertaining from that purpose alone.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to score. Like, the Pelicans are going to score. They're going to get up and down. Their biggest issue is, one, they don't have a lot of great defenders on the roster. We've seen Brandon Ingram play defense before, but it hasn't been at the Pelican. You know, you can make an argument that probably Josh Hart is their best perimeter defender, and that's not a great thing. Lonzo is okay defensively. He has his moments. When he's locked in, he can play above average defense, but at times he doesn't, and that can be a problem. His shot has gotten better, but offensively they lack floor spacing. Like, they lack that. That's a huge issue. Is they don't space the floor. So when you got guys like Ingram and Zion Williamson, who are, you know, very good at what they do, it makes their job a lot easier. When you go against a team like Utah, who's gonna have Rudy Gobert at the basket, that has defensive guys that are gonna pressure the ball, it's gonna be a very difficult matchup. But I can see a close game going into the second half, even going to the fourth quarter. It wouldn't surprise me, but Utah just has a different gear than the Pelicans do at this time. And the Pelicans are still a team trying to figure themselves out.
Agreed. And I think this is it's a relatable topic. If we look at the Pelicans, here we are now in March. And again, the All-Star break is right around the corner. And we have soon-to-be restricted free agent Lonzo Ball on this roster. And it was reported at the end of January that Lonzo was being shot by the Pelicans. And since then, last month, he was good. I mean, 16 points, 5 assists per game, knocked down close to 46% of his 3-point shots. I mean, really, this is the type of Ball that I expected from Lonzo, who's still very young. We're talking about 23 years old. And so before we move away from the Pelicans, where does Lonzo Ball fit into the trade chatter that is inevitably going to pick up over the next 3 weeks?
Man, look here. The trade chatter is about to become a thing. We are going to see guys get moved. We are going to see teams kind of either go one way or another, whether they go try to contend or basically bow out and get ready for the draft. Because especially with a season like this, the shorter season, basically got like after the little All-Star break, basically got 2 full months left of it, and then we go to the playoffs. So I can see teams making some things happen and basically say, you know what, this ain't for us. We're going to go a different direction, and that'll be that. So that's something I can see happening. I can also see a team going for it. When I mean a team going for it, let's say if a team like Denver was like, you know what, let's try to go get Bradley Beal. Let's try to put some pieces together in the strategy. I can see that happening. Now, if they get him or not, totally different story. But I think I can see teams being uber aggressive and trying to go for it because a lot of teams feel that they have a chance. Or the other way around, especially out east, I can see teams saying, you know what, we're right in the thick of the 5 through 11 spots, but this ain't going to be the year for us. Let's go ahead and tear it all down. Let's get a good lottery pick and go from there, because in the east, there's only two bad teams. Everybody else is like in contention of a playoff spot. Outside of the Pistons and outside, I believe, who's the other bad team out east? Cleveland,
Orlando. Orlando's right there as well. I mean,
yeah,
the same
but they have at least an all-star guy. You know what I mean? Like, they have a guy that's, you know, if they put together a week of 3-1 basketball, they're right back in the mix of those other teams above them. So they're not too far, but those two are really bad. So it's just, to me, I can see teams going one way or another. But here's the thing. Lonzo Ball being shopped is interesting because that means that they probably aren't going to re-sign him in free agency. And he's, I believe, restricted.
He is, correct.
So they can offer him a deal, and or somebody can offer him a deal and Pelicans to match or decide not to match. But I tell you what, he better make more than Alex Caruso next year. He's a much better basketball player, and he has a higher ceiling.
Yeah, look, if the Pelicans trade Lonzo Ball, the reason why, because he is a good fit with Zion. He is. And I'm not saying it's an incredible fit, but it's a fit. The only reason why New Orleans trades him is A, they look at this and say, no, this is not the direction we want to go. Or B, they're not willing to match a max offer sheet, because regardless of these statistics, and again, I'm pointing out 16-5, knocking down 40-45% from beyond the arc. Jameson, we know in the NBA, teams overpay. Historically, teams overpay. So if the Pelicans are not willing to match a max offer sheet, you might as well move on from him right now and get something.
I don't think he gets a max offer sheet. I don't think he gets that. However, I can definitely see 4 for $60. Mm-hmm. I can see that. Or 3. I can see 3 for like $40 or $45. The max is different. Like, especially with things going on right now, I'd be hard pressed to see him get a max only because they're not winning. If his play contributed to winning with the numbers that he's improved upon with, even the free throw shooting has gotten better, I can see that. But them still being a sorry team, and yes, they are one of the sorry teams I referred to in a tweet last week, I don't see someone offering the max for him with the guys that are going to be out there or potentially tradable out there. Now, a guy like Victor Oladipo, I can see someone offering him a max deal for his salary, but not the amount of years. So I can see a max salary for like a year or two with some options, but I don't see anyone giving out a big max to anyone this offseason like that.
Again, Jameson Welsh, our guest right now at BasketballNews.com. As we talk about tonight's opponent for the Utah Jazz, the New Orleans Pelicans, let's talk about the Jazz. Finally, this incredible winning streak that they had, it kind of ran into a little bit of a blip. They lost 2 out of their last 4 games, 1 of the Clippers. Nobody's going to bat an eye at that. It was at L.A. They were at full strength. Lose to the Heat. We saw a couple of wrinkles in this Utah offense. Did not shoot lights out specifically late in that game the way the Jazz have been accustomed to. They only put up 22 points in the fourth quarter in that contest. Still best team and the best record in the NBA. We have to, I mean, look, in the state of Utah, everybody is going crazy right now with this team, and rightfully so. 2 All-Stars, no question, Donovan Mitchell, Rudy Gobert. I'm going to ask you, should Mike Conley be an All-Star?
No. It's a good story. He's a nice guy, but no. There's other guys in the West that are, remember, this is the West. Mm-hmm. This is the Western Conference. There's guys that didn't make it that have a strong argument as well. Mike Conley's having a really good year, but he's not having a better year than Chris Paul. Impact-wise, he's not having a better year than Damian Lillard. It's just not going to happen. It's unfortunate, but that's just kind of how it goes. He's a guy that doesn't have like a big camp behind him. He's not a loud guy. He doesn't have certain things going for him. So being the third All-Star team in a market like Utah ain't going to happen. I'm sorry. It just won't happen. It's unfortunate. He's a good guy, but he's not that player at this stage in my eyes. Now, I mean, there's some people who may disagree, but I just don't see it.
I just don't know if I have seen any team that warrants 3 All-Stars. And that may be, some will look at that argument and say, okay, well, you can't look at Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert's success and hold that against Mike Conley, and I understand that argument. Still, though, Jameson, when you look at teams that have three All-Stars, I just think that the level of play so far this year has been so up and down. I don't know that I can justify three from one team.
Brooklyn. Brooklyn has three. They have three.
I don't know that they do. I don't know.
They do. They do.
I mean,
they
do. James Harden, has James Harden had an All-Star caliber season? The
yes.
way I don't think so. Not the way it started. This guy dogged it for weeks in Houston.
But how many games was he in Houston for, though?
It was 2 weeks.
Yeah, so he didn't have a lot of games with them. It's like he had half the season with them, then half with Brooklyn. It was like maybe 5 or 6 games, and then the rest he's been having 25 and 11, and Brooklyn's been winning. Like that's they've got off of an 8-game winning streak. So, he's an All-Star. Like that's the Brooklyn situation. When healthy, they are the best team out East, and they have three All-Star players. Now, you can make an argument over who should start in the All-Star game and who shouldn't. I think that might be a bigger argument, but not they have three. But they're the only team that has three guys that are actual All-Star. Because you got to remember, the All-Star game is more than just stats. It's about impact. It's also about guys that are living up to expectations. So certain guys haven't lived up to expectations, and that's why they're not there. Like, for instance, if Russell Westbrook didn't get hurt early, if he played like he's been playing the last 3 weeks, the whole year, he's probably an All-Star, but that's just not the case.
Yeah, I would have a hard time voting for James Harden in the All-Star race. I get that he is an All-Star caliber player. There's no question about that. Let's step aside from the All-Star topic. I want to go back to, you just mentioned Russell Westbrook, talked about James Harden. I want to talk about the news that came out that Victor Oladipo has declined a 2-year offer from the Houston Rockets. And I know we're jumping all the way around, but we got to go back to the trade market now. He immediately becomes a very viable name on the trade market. You want to talk about some teams out west that are bad? Well, Houston's one of them. Oladipo turns down a 2-year offer. You got to move him.
You got to move him. Also, he turned it out for several reasons. One, he feels that he can get more in the open market, whether it's more years or similar money but longer years. He feels like he can get a better deal on the open market. Also, he don't want to be in Houston, man. Houston's about to go through a bad rebuild, and hopefully they keep their lottery pick. But there's some protections in that pick that if it goes a certain way, it goes OKC. So, they're going through a rebuild. Veteran guys don't want to be around for a rebuild. They already have John Wall there for another 2 years. They have Christian Wood. That's a nice sign. But losing James Harden, whenever you lose a guy getting 25, 11, and 8 and shooting 49% from the field, you can't replace that overnight. That's going to take a while. That's why it's weird to me that they didn't take the Sixer deal. If they were truly offered Ben Simmons and Tyrese Maxey, if they were offered that, they didn't take it, that's a really bad job by ownership in the GM there. Because that's the best deal on the table. None of the stuff they got in the deal they made, that deal ain't it, in my opinion.
Well, you know how I feel about draft picks. I would have traded James Harden straight up for Ben Simmons.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, you make that trade. At least with Ben, you can build around Ben.
Exactly.
Some guys that can score and shoot and make that work. I don't know what the hell they're about to do right now. Like, it doesn't. None of their roster makes sense. Nothing makes sense outside of Christian Wood.
Jameson Welsh, again, our guest right now as we talk NBA basketball. Do not forget, coming up tonight, the Utah Jazz make their return. They take on the New Orleans Pelicans. Tip-off for that game is set for 6 p.m. Jameson, it's always fun. I always enjoy the conversation. Before I let you go, please let the listeners know where they can find more of you.
Of course, here every week, ESPN 1100, and also in Vegas, and also basketballnews.com. Also, I believe it's ESPN 1480 out in Lincoln, Nebraska. Once a week as well.
Jameson, always a pleasure. Look forward to doing it again next week. Enjoy All-Star Weekend.
Not a problem. Thank you.
We're going to break one more time. We'll come back, put the final touches on this edition of Drive Time Sports right after this.
Now, more Drive Time Sports on KOAL, 107.3 FM and 750 AM, the play-by-play home of the Emory Spartans.
Back to the final touches on this Monday edition of Drive Time Sports. Get a busy week of recapping coming up. We also have to talk USU Eastern basketball because the men, they had a thriller this past Saturday. Dontrell Hewlett with a game-winning basket as time expired against Salt Lake Community College. We'll talk about that tomorrow here on the show. Coach Bill Evans is lined up to join us. Plus, we have a lot to get into. It's typically Football Tuesday, right? We got some storylines. Russell Wilson, is his time numbered in Seattle? You know, at the beginning of the show, I talked about right now, Russell Wilson is in the NFC West. There are a lot of rumors out there that he may be on his way out. I don't think so. But we will talk about that on the show tomorrow. We'll talk about the impact of J.J. Watt. A lot going on in the NFL. It's a league where the storylines just write themselves. That's what the NFL does. I mean, even in the offseason, here we are in March, 2 weeks ahead of free agency, and we have storylines about Russell Wilson and the Seahawks possibly parting ways coming out. We'll talk about that on the show tomorrow. I want to thank Jeff Cincinneros and also Jameson Walsh for taking out the time to join us. Don't forget to check out CastleCountryRadio.com for the latest happening in local sports. Catch you tomorrow. Same time, same place. Be safe. I am out.